of money. He never be too much, but it's help in those days. If you have $10 in those days, everything is low, groceries, anything what we use for living. Not today, not like today. Even when we go hunting, I used to go with them. We used to use his launch, gas boat. He had a partner with him. They bought that, I don't know how long this boat is, but it's carry aquatic good. When we got a walrus, I don't know how many walruses that boat used to load it. Quite a bit. Yeah, that's all I could say about Bert Pennigo.
When you went walrus hunting, would you sell any parts of the walrus in the store?
For native store, tusks.
The tusks?
Yeah.
Oh.
When a person has a boat, he supply the gasoline, and of course we had another boat in tow, which belonged to him. And from that catch, he got the ivory to pay for the expenses by gasoline and some few grubs we take along.
You would keep the meat and the hide?
Yeah, the hide and the meat were distributed among the crew.
Because what he really wanted was the ivory for himself.
In order to pay the expenses.
Yeah. Do you know how he would sell the ivory?
He would sell it to the store, the one he worked for. He don't own the store. He's just working for the store, for the stockholders.
Okay. So then he would sell the ivory to
the store.
The store. And what did the store do with the ivory?
They ship it out, like any other kind of product that they got from the business.
Do you know who that would have gone to?
I don't know. The only ones that I know of, like fur, goes to Seattle Fur Exchange at the time.
Yeah.
It must have gone.
Probably to Seattle anyway.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, mostly that PIA take care of the native store in those days.
The BIA did?
Yeah.
I see.
I mean, helping the native store somehow. And I never knew much about it when I started to go reindeer herding. After that, I never knew much about Bert. So when I started work on the reindeer.
Well, we could drive over and could show me the place.
Yeah.
Part of the warehouse is still left.
Yeah.
Ask you one more question before we leave. Who lives in that house now? You know?
If it is occupied, it might be occupied by one of Bert's grandchildren.
Oh. Okay.
They just have to get na. You know what they're doing? They go to the lagoon. Na palo. So all the people are there. They play with that. The people are there. The people are there. Some of them are not. Illa, illa na. Isu ada kilut mut. Angom mula.
The branch and move on it.
He
in the struggle to come to mind.
This location here is the location for that remodeled store.
It's got a lot of invitation, won't it? Home is a little home. I just got in that and never taken it.
That's right behind the restaurant, between it and this other building over here. This what's driveway now used to be the place for the store.
Yeah.
Or for the warehouse.
Over in here. Yeah. Part of it, this house is resting on it.
Oh, I see. Okay, the restaurant's covering part of the area.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you think that building out there that that man's working at, was that, did that used to be part of it, or?
It used to be the part of one building by itself. Mm-hmm. It used to be the warehouse.
The warehouse.
And the other big warehouse would be in the place of that hotel.
Okay, the other warehouse is where the hotel now sits.
Yeah.
Has this one been changed around a lot, or is that pretty much the way that it looked before?
No, it's it has been changed. Oh. Hmm.
Maybe I can find a photograph somewhere of how it used to look. If I can find it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah. Let's go on over to where your house used to be.
Yeah.
Was operator stay on that building before he bought it?
This was the place where the first who stayed?
Was operator.
Wireless. Okay. Telephone or wire, telegram.
So it was right here in the corner of the road as we're coming around from the hotel.
Yeah.
Was the wireless building.
Yeah.
It was first used as a store by Hansen.
First as a store by Hansen.
And then when it is sold to Brower, he rent it to somebody who will. And the Signal Corps rent it for how many years, we don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's where they send the messages out and receive. Before they move over to where the hospital is now.
Oh. So then, when you bought it from Brower, it was sitting right here.
Yeah.
On the corner, in the street, where the street is now.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, the city moved it for you over to where it is now.
Yeah, after I remodeled it, too.
Yeah. Okay, you remodeled it right here.
Yeah.
Well, that time when they had a high water, this building, I think you used to hear when some of the houses been washed out.
Some of the old ones used to.
He was in danger too at that time when he had his house right here.
What year was that?
That was 63. Big storm from west, southwest. No ice at the time, and it was so high over here. It even pushed the door in.
Oh yeah, it got up into your house.
Yeah, it gets into the entryway.
Well, when we go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning in the hospital. Everything was good. You see, this you could walk right between here and the Barville on the sand pit here.
Yeah.
From 8 to 10, you can see that gravel between Barville and here.
It was underwater. Huh?
Water, covered with water.
Hmm. Well, what time of the what month was that?
October.
It was in October.
Yeah.
Just before freeze up, though.
It was already frozen.
It was already frozen?
On the lagoon.
Oh. And the water pushed up and came in?
Well, I just go like a glass, you see?
Yeah. Wasn't real thick then. ice.
It wasn't real thick then.
No. And there's a good pile of oil drums right over there, all washed out.
Oh.
To
Burrville side.
No, up to the lagoon.
Oh.
In.
Uh-huh. I think you said in 63 or 64 they moved your house over.
63.
Yeah.
That was right after that storm? Around Thanksgiving time, just before Thanksgiving time.
Oh, right after the storm.
Yeah. It was the time when Kennedy was assassinated.
Oh, yes.
They were just about to move it from the place while they are working on it. This storm came, and we hear about assassination of President Kennedy.
Well, you see that red roof building down there? That day, if they don't anchor with a tractor, that house would be one of them washed away. That house down there, but they anchored with two tractors tied with a rope.
Oh.
Cable.
That's that two-story house that's back
there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose house is that?
Ralph Amukuk.
Oh.
Aviwina, what they call it, Ralph Aviwina.
So they anchored it with two tractors and kept it from floating away.
Right. It started to move.
This one here was also moved from the location. This house here.
Little house?
Yeah. This used to be a Talkbox warehouse.
That was Talkbox warehouse?
Yeah. Now it is converted into a house.
Where was it located when Talkbox had it?
Same location.
Same location?
Yeah. Only it's facing towards the ocean.
Oh, so it's just kind of moved in place?
Yeah.
Turned around?
Yeah, twisted around.
Did the water do that that time? Or
yeah, that time the water did it.
Okay, let's see. I want to make sure I can remember where this little building is.
At the time, just before the flood, before the big storm, we saw a great big iceberg way, way out there. They say it was part of the ice, where they called Ice Island.
Oh, yes.
Where the Arctic Laboratory had the stations way out there, almost close to the North Pole or somewhere there. Mm. And they say it has been broken off from that ice island there and drifted slowly away from there. And then we saw it way out there just before the storm, probably the day before.
Mm.
It was going right slowly down. And when the storm comes towards night later on, next morning we saw all white along the coast. That iceberg has been broken into pieces by the big storm. Even some of it is resting out here in cakes, out in the road over here.
Out in the road?
Yeah. The road was over here at the time, before they changed it, where this house is resting on it.
Mm-hmm. That blue house?
Yeah. You can even find some cakes of ice out here and on the back of my house. Mostly down at the beach, all dry. And what we did is start hauling it for drinking water. It's real good. clean water.
Well, in those days, you see, we airline used to have its office right here.
Oh.
And they had a high tower. And that tower was hit by one of the houses that had been washed away. And that tower just go down like that.
If we don't
have a cable, that thing would hit something, but it just go right down. It hit by the one of the houses that been washed this way.
Well, where was the airfield then?
Out at the base.
Oh.
That was the time when they just beginning to construct the new airfield up here.
Oh.
It was not completed.
But they had an office here.
Yeah. But in an emergency like that, they had to rush by smoothing it out so the emergency planes can land on what they are constructing.
So until that time, whenever you wanted to take the plane, you had to go all the way out to...
Right, right.
No. Is now maybe is it somebody's house? It's not a building.
I don't think somebody is living in it.
Well, in the first place, when they build this one here, they use it for dry cleaning. Dry cleaner. Just run on this here.
Oh, there's a dry cleaner in that metal building?
Yeah, this metal.
Oh.
Well, one of my son-in-law do business, not too much. Just in a few months in that metal. I don't know what they do it right now. Maybe just somebody renting it, I think, today.
Do you know who owns it?
Mm-mm. I don't know it myself.
Let's see then. Where was your house located?
Just right this way, over here.
Over in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, where that driveway is now.
Huh?
Where the driveway is now?
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
And mine is just, this building was resting on it.
No.
You see this part here?
Yes.
It's kind of sloping like that.
Sloping down towards the road here, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over this way, towards the other house.
Oh, towards the other house.
That's it indicates that the edge of the house where I used to live.
Uh-huh.
And above that, there used to be a small ice cellar close to it.
This way.
Yeah. The walls were just about, about 3 or 4 feet apart, filled with the sod in between.
Uh-huh. But that, you think that driveway is running over where the house was now?
Yeah, right over the house where they used to live in, especially on the edge of the that entryway.
Would that be have been about where their wall was?
Yes, yes. The man who wants to move it here want to use our house as a windbreaker, especially from the northeast.
Oh.
So, when the northeast starts to blow, they would say that their house is warm.
Yeah.
And when the southwest starts to blow, our house is warm, because we had that as a windbreaker.
Well, when we live in those houses, we don't use no windows.
No windows.
Yeah, just
skylight.
Skylight. All of our instances of our ugu. No glass. And they kept the house with the Eskimo lamp, but I used to say. Give it a lick.
You were able to keep it warm with a lamp?
No, it's too cold.
Too cold.
Because we had the entryway straight out, not down through the floor. The older type of houses that are built with the entryway through the door down don't have much draft, a cold draft. When they wanted the draft at the time, they had to put some kind of a breaker, a windbreak, opposite the wind, so the draft would go in.
Yeah.
Well, I know it plainly anyway. It's helped a lot, that lamp.
Mm-hmm.
When they let it get ongoing and take care of the dreaming good, it's helped a lot.
Did you use it mostly for light then?
Light,
yes.
And the heat.
Yes.
Cooking?
Sometimes when you had to keep something warm, you would set it over the lamp. It can heat up for a long time, but you have to be patient.
Well, I used to know they put a little pan and put oil in there. And they used to make some kind of a bread, donuts, with one whole piece and put little holes all around on that dough, what you call it, flour anyway. Yeah. That lamb cook it slowly. It's very tastes good. Awful good. Well, in those days, you see, biscuit, if they make it any old way, we like it. It's best. It's good. When I was a little boy, I used to see my father cooking out of a flour with a little lamb made out of white people. That got a two long wig, two like this. And they had used to put a pot right on top, cook with. He used to make a flour, stir it up and cook it in there and put a lot of whale blubber. He eats a lot of good eating.
Mm. Kind of like gravy then.
Yeah. I used to watch him when he cooked. They never do much cooking. Make a biscuit. When he was pretty small. But later on they started have some stove that got an oven. That's the time they started cooking bread. His mother, you know, he's a good, doing a lot of good biscuits. She knows.
When did the people start having stoves that had ovens?
Even just before our time, I think. Because as far back as I can remember, they had cast iron stoves that had ovens on them, just like the ones we had. But when the fuel is scarce, they have to use the seal oil lamps in order to cook with, even though they are so slow.
Yeah, I used to see a stove that they had, my folks. Well, they had a First World War. But they're small.
They were small?
Small.
I think you were mentioning the other time that you didn't stand up beside those stoves. You had to kneel down. They were low on the floor, low down. How big were they?
Yeah, they were not as big as the kitchen range. They were real small. The it's got four lids on the stove. Just about 3 feet, three feet or more in length, and just about 2 feet or a little bit more in width, and it's just about foot and a half high, and it was raised by legs.
Yeah.
The ovens opens from either side. Mm-hmm. The two oven doors on either side.
These were stoves that you bought at the store?
Yeah.
Through the store?
Almost the only kind that the stores can sell up here.
Sometime in the morning, I used to smell some kind of a funny smell. And I never smelled before. That was coffee. Oh. Maybe they get it from some places, make coffee in the morning. I smelled that just in a few days, maybe 2 or 3 days, and I never smelled it again. I don't know how long. I smelled that. Same smell. That was coffee. They don't have it all the way in those days. Some coffee.
Oh.
For drinking in the morning.
So they didn't have much coffee then?
They mostly used a tea. And I used to see that. What were we talking about the other day, John Komusik, that he used to work for John Backlund. Mm-hmm. He used to have a coffee maker.
Grinder.
Yeah, it's just like beans.
Yeah, baked. Coffee beans.
Yeah, I used to watch when they grinding. They say it's fresh. Anyway, they let me use that wheel to running it. I used to help. While I'm watching, they give me that thing to wheel it, run it. Yeah, I used to see like John Komusik have one like that, grinder. I seen those coffee beans. It's just like kidney beans. Some beans.
Well, when did the people start drinking coffee up here? It must have been in your time they started drinking coffee.
Yeah. Even just before our time, they might have started, but not too many of them.
Not very much available.
No.
Well, they had a native store in that EIA building. That coffee started to run steady.
So by the 1920s, around the 1920s, it started getting coffee regularly. Before that, mostly tea.
Yeah. In my house here, I don't remember of seeing coffee in my lifetime at the time. Yeah. Until I come back from East in 26. Here my family has started using it while I am away. I left in 23, and between that time, they decided to use coffee in the morning, I think.
Well, when we live here, my brother used to work on it, Charlie Hansen. Johnny, my brother, is working on Charlie Hansen. And when Charlie Hansen sold his store, then he moved to Charlie Bauer and started working up there.
Your brother?
Or yeah, Hansen? My brother. Well, he paid with the groceries, anything what they could use. I bet he never see any money to pay. You see, he used it for food and clothing, something like that.
There was an agreement at the time when Charlie Hansen sold out to Brower. He had his brother as his helper. And he and Mr. Brower, that's Charlie Hansen, made an agreement that if he sold out, that his helper got a job at Brower's. That's how he was transferred from Charlie Hansen's to Brower's.
That would have been about 1918 or
something. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Around there.
Well, he started when that Captain Backlund had a shipwreck with that transom. That year he started to work for Charlie Hansen.
So that store really didn't stay in business very long, did it?
No.
From maybe 1913, 14 or so till about 1918.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 years.
We mentioned earlier about the building that the store had in time. It's down here. That they used only for probably 2 years or just part of the year or so.
It's over there in back of where your house used to be?
Yeah, over there.
Oh. Back up a little bit and see if we can see it.
You can never stand in the water.
Hi?
You can never stand in the water. There's the corner of it there.
Oh, I see it.
Right
there next to Benson Apartments, I guess.
Yeah. With that white door?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it?
Yeah. First is...
That used to be, that was the store for about 2 years?
But less than 2 years, probably... just in a year or so.
Was it in that place, or has that been
moved? No, it has been moved.
That's the one, okay, it's been moved.
And it was sold to a man. Then he moved it down here.
Probably used as a house now.
Yeah.
Probably in a few days we'd like to come back here and bring one of the other guys. Probably be all right to get out and walk around there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's the end of this tape.